Well, good evening. I'm thankful that we can open up God's Word together.
But I need a clicker.
So, otherwise my PowerPoint won't work.
Thank you.
Cool. All right, well, I'm thankful to be here. And if, I don't know. I was out of town for a while, so it feels kind of weird. Because I was gone for several Sundays and Wednesdays, and it's just a blessing to be back with my brothers and sisters in Christ here at Douglas Hills. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those videos before. For me, they pop up on Facebook, and inevitably I will watch them, and inevitably I will almost cry when I do. But they take these people who are colorblind, and they give them these glasses. And when they put these glasses on, they see the world in full color. It's really cool. They're called enchroma glasses. People that could never see color in their lives, everything's black or white or gray. And now they're seeing purple and red and blue and green and the rest of the rainbow. And it's really cool. And almost every time they start crying, when they can really see the world, it's beautiful to think about. And it's beautiful for them. So the reason that I bring that up is because when they do that, in a sense, they're seeing a part of reality that they have been blind to before. They're seeing a part of the world that they had never seen before. And I think that we struggle from spiritual color blindness in some ways. And you could take that a bunch of different ways. But what I mean by that is that we don't see things exactly how they are. So you can see the title of my lesson is God Glasses. So what I'm going to be talking about this evening is I think it's important for us to try to see things the way God sees them instead of the way that we see them. So jumping right into it, this has been a common issue throughout all of time, that people have struggled to see things the way that God sees them. God's view versus our view. What's the difference? So in 1 Samuel chapter 16, you don't have to turn it over there. I'm going to have it on the board, but if you want to, you can. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, do you remember what's happening there? Samuel is going to pick the next king by God's decree. So Saul's messed up, Saul's out. And the new king's going to be picked out of this house of Jesse. And Samuel looks at the first son and he thinks, this is the one right here. And God says, no, that's not the one. And he clarifies right there why that wasn't the right person, why the first son wasn't right, because it was a difference in perspective. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Samuel and God were looking at the same person, right? They were both looking at David's older brother. But they saw totally different things. Why? Because Samuel was looking at the outward appearance. That's what the people of Israel did when they picked their first king, right? Saul, they were just looking at how tall he was, how strong he looked, and those kinds of things. And we struggle with that too, right? I mean, when we look at people, we look at them from a physical perspective. And partially, you can't blame us for that. Because I've only ever seen physical things. I've only ever touched physical things, heard, smelled, tasted physical things. So that's the way that we perceive the world. But God sees things differently. God focuses on the heart, the inner character, the spiritual soul. Those are the things that God is concerned about. And that's actually what he desires out of his people as well. So it makes sense. We're looking at the same thing, but we're seeing two totally different sides of it. I don't know if you've ever seen these things. They also pop up on Facebook. I don't spend that much time on Facebook, even though I'm talking about it a lot. But like several years ago, there was a picture of a dress, and some people saw it one color, and some people saw it another color. And those things come up. Well, it's crazy because we're looking at the same thing, but we see it differently. And I think that's what we do. That's kind of a helpful comparison between us and God. But in a sense, for us as Christians, our responsibility is to try to strive to, instead of looking at things our way, to see things God's way and to act upon that. So, I mean, the idea behind that, so we would think of ourselves as self-sufficient, but in God's eyes, we are totally reliant on His grace and on His strength. You know, we would view this life as a really big deal, as the main event, but God views this life as just a vapor. You know, I view sin, or sometimes we view sin as something that's really fun, something that we desire a lot. God views sin as the thing that put His Son on the cross. We need to line our vision up with God's vision. And so this evening what I want to talk about is a particular way that we need to put on God glasses. Try to see things the way God sees them. So the reason I've studied this is because it's something that I struggle with. I want us to talk about having God glasses with the world. To talk about how does God see the world. And when I'm talking about the world, I'm talking about the people in the world. Because if we will see people in the world the way God sees people in the world, I believe we will do a whole lot better job of reaching out to them with the gospel. I think this is one of our biggest issues. We don't see people the way God sees them. We don't think the way God thinks when we interact with people. And that means we interact with them the wrong way. This is not the only thing that we struggle with evangelism. And I mean, Mark told us this morning our theme for this year is going to be evangelism. So there's going to be a lot of different areas and aspects of this we're going to talk about. But this evening I want to talk about how we view people of the world. So turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is a common passage for us. I mean, it's a really helpful passage talking about God's grace that He's outpoured for us. So I want us to look at this passage and then reference a few other ones, but it's helpful for us, I think, if we realize. So Ephesians chapter 2 is talking about us as Christians. The first part talks about what we used to be, and then the second part talks about what we have now in Christ. I think it's helpful for us if we realize that passages that talk about what we used to be before we turned to Christ, those things are still true of those who are in the world. Let me show you what I mean. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verses 1 through 3. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So that's what he says. We used to be that. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. So that's what we used to be. That's what the people in the world are still. They're dead. Walking around spiritually dead. You know, Colossians chapter 1 would say that they are alienated from God. Romans chapter 5 verses 6 through 9 would say that we used to be helpless, that we used to be enemies. That's still what the people in the world are. Philippians 3, 18 and 19 that Hunter read for us. Destined for destruction. And then Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 talks about us, we used to be enslaved to sin. So those things that we used to be, that's what the world is now. When God sees a crowd, He sees a group of people that are sinful, are lost, are separated, helpless, hopeless, enslaved, and they're dead. What do you see when you see a crowd of people? Is that the same thing that we think about when we look at people in the world? Do we see them this way? Or do we see them a different way? So that's what God sees. But what does that drive God to? Look at the latter half of that passage in Ephesians 2. Verses 4 through 7 says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So what did this view that God had of the world lead Him to? God saw the world as dead, and He loved them. That's what it says there. You see that in verse 5. But God being rich in mercy because of his great love, even when we were dead, he loved us. And that's still true for the way God feels for those who are in the world today. You know, if we didn't know the gospel, if we didn't know the character of God, that's not what I would expect somebody to do. I mean, the people of the world have run away from God. They have tried to separate themselves from him, committed iniquity against his law, and yet God loves them? That doesn't make any sense from our human thinking, but that's exactly what God does. So God doesn't disdain the people of the world. He sees that they are lost, and it invokes him to love them. So that's what we see out of God. But what would change if we saw the world the way God sees it? What would change if we saw the world the way God sees it? So instead of the guy bagging our groceries, what if we saw him as somebody who was lost, but God wanted to save him? What if instead of our neighbor, we saw somebody who was dead spiritually, but God wanted to raise her up? I mean, the same thing's true of our best friend who hasn't come to Christ. The same thing's true of a coworker that we see on a regular basis. What if we saw them the way God sees them instead of seeing them just through our physical lens? I believe that would change the way that we interact with them. We would be way more willing to talk to people about the gospel, be way more willing to use our actions and our words to glorify God and to bring them closer to him. I think part of our problem is we just don't see people the way God sees them. We're so caught up in the physical instead of seeing the spiritual. So I think that's what we need to change, but we still struggle with it. So why do we struggle to have the same vision that God has? I think there's plenty of different reasons. I just want to spend a couple minutes going through those. Maybe you'll relate to a couple of these, maybe just one of them. But we talked about it already. We view things physically. God views things spiritually. So that's part of our issue, but there's more to it. Maybe this has just never been something that's on your mind. Maybe you've never thought, wow, the people around me are lost. And that's okay. If you haven't thought that before, now you have, because we're talking about it. So you can change that. Maybe another thing, Mark and I were talking about this, and he helped point this out to me, that, you know, throughout Scripture, we are warned against worldliness. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, a familiar passage, says, when I flip over there, chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we have a pretty straightforward command there. Do not love the world. Okay. Wait, Sean, I thought you were just telling me to love the world. Yeah, well, we're talking about different kinds of love here. The idea in this passage and other passages that talk about this, like James chapter 4, is saying we don't want to be involved in doing the things of the world. But we still have to be with the world in a sense. We have to be involved with them, interact with them so that we can influence them. Jesus is our perfect example of this, right? Jesus was never gave in to the temptations of the world, and yet he was approachable by sinners and by tax collectors and by adulteresses and by prostitutes, and all these different people of the world were comfortable with approaching Jesus. We need to figure out this balance. I'll admit that's difficult. I'm not suggesting that we start doing the things of the world, but I'm suggesting that we have to interact with the world and see them as God sees them and love them. That way we can change our interaction. So maybe a reason we don't do this the way we ought to is because we don't like the idea. And you see up there, that's me. That is something that I struggle with. It is not a fun thing to think about people being lost. I would much rather not think about that. And we don't want to see dead people all around us. I mean, that's not a fun thing to see. But the solution is not denial. The solution is not detachment. The solution is to accept, okay, this is hard. Now what are we going to do about it? I mean, look at the Apostle Paul. Hunter read that passage for us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Do you know what Paul says there? He says, "I write this now, even weeping." Paul was crying because he was talking about lost people. So just because we don't like the fact that people are lost doesn't mean we need to avoid it. And I brought that up because that's a struggle for me. And I imagine it's probably a struggle for some other people as well. So when we don't want to see people this way, we're like little kids. Have you ever played that little game, that game with a little kid where, like, you cover your eyes and then you say, like, peekaboo, right? And then eventually they catch on and they cover their eyes and they think you can't see them because they're covering their eyes. Okay, well, you can definitely still see them. But that's the idea they get. And when we are in denial about the fact that people are lost, we're acting like that little kid. We're acting like just because I'm covering my eyes, they're not there or they're not lost. And that doesn't suffice. That doesn't work. We need to open up our eyes to see the way people are. So the last thing I have in this list is that when it's on our minds that people are lost, sometimes we judge people's hearts by what we can see. We're still using that physical perspective. You remember Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower? You know, that sower, he spread seed all over the place. It's kind of ineffective if you think about it. Sometimes if we were to throw that seed around, we would probably be way more effective. You know, that ground looks a little rocky. I'm not going to throw any seed there. It might not grow roots. I see some birds hovering over here. I'm not going to throw seed. Those birds might take it away. You know, I see a weed. That might become a thorn bush, and that could choke out the word of God. You know, this soil over here, it looks pretty good, but better safe than sorry. Sometimes that's how we act with the gospel, brethren. We examine the soil. We examine people by what we see instead of just giving them the gospel. And that's something that I've done before. We're not called to be soil examiners. We're called to be sowers of God's word. That's what our responsibility is. So those are some of the things that we do. I think that's why we struggle with this, is because it's not on our minds. We don't want to be involved with the world, so we struggle with that balance. Sometimes we just don't like the idea to think about the fact that people are lost. And then sometimes we judge people's hearts, which is what stops us from sharing the gospel. So putting on the glasses, or putting the glasses on. You know, I almost wish that there were a little literal pair of glasses that we could put on in the morning. You know, we could like put them on and now I'm going to see things the way God sees it. But that's not how it works. The way that we're going to do this is we need to ask God to open our eyes to see how He sees the world. We need to entreat Him. We need to talk to Him in the morning and ask Him to help us to see people the way He sees them. Because we're not going to do it naturally. We need His help. We want to see people so that way we can interact with them the way God wants us to. And when we see people the way God does, we should be better motivated to share the gospel with them. It's hard to see somebody that's sick and not want to tell them to go find a doctor, especially if you know where to find the doctor. And that's what we need to be doing as Christians. We see sick people and we're trying to get them in touch with the doctor. And that's Jesus, the great physician. And the last thing on this is that if we're willing to share the gospel, if we're willing to see people the way God sees them, this will help us to find our purpose. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount. We'll look at verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus tells us what we are right there. We're lights. And what do lights do? They shine, right? You don't put it under a basket. This little Christian light of mine, we know that song. We think of it as a little kid's song, but it is so helpful for us as well. We don't need to hide it under a bushel. We need to get that word out there. And when we're fulfilling God's will by sharing the gospel, by talking to people, that's going to help us to fulfill our purpose, to find our purpose in Christ. There's a lot of smartwatches and things out there nowadays. A lot of people have them. They're kind of cool. But what would you think about a smartwatch? I mean, it can do everything, but it can't tell time. Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Or what if you went on Craigslist and you're looking for a car, and man, the AC works really well. The brakes were just, they're brand new. The interior is really nice looking. And I think they just put a new audio system in that thing. But the one problem is it doesn't drive. So what do you think about that car? Is that a very useful car to any of us? I mean, it's really nice in a lot of different ways, but it doesn't drive. If we're Christians that are not fulfilling our purpose by sharing the gospel with other people, we're like that car. It can have a lot of cool different parts, but if it doesn't drive, it's not fulfilling its purpose. Like a fridge that doesn't cool things down or a stove that doesn't cook things. It doesn't make any sense. We need to be Christians that are fulfilling our purpose. The things we've talked about, they can seem, I don't know, bleak or burdensome to think about people in this way. But it helps us as Christians to do this. And hopefully we'll benefit from acting upon the purpose God has given us. I don't want people to feel overwhelmed. I don't want us to feel overwhelmed. But we should feel a responsibility. Because our responsibility is to share the gospel with those who are in need. You may be thinking, I can't tell everybody, I can't talk to everyone in the world about Jesus. And that's true. But the worst thing we can do is allow that to stop us from talking to one person. And so that's what I'm challenging you to do. Talk to one person. Whether it's the person at the grocery store, or it's a person at work, or wherever it is you go, let's think of people the way God sees them. Let's see them as lost, because God sees them that way, and He loves them, and let's love them as well, and help them find the great physician. So that's the lesson that I have for this evening. If somebody's not a Christian, God knows your condition, and He is so willing to bring you back to life if you are willing to turn yourself over to Him, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Hopefully, each of us will open up our eyes to see the world the way God sees it. But if somebody here needs particular prayers, the congregation is so willing to pray for you and to encourage and help you. If there's anything you need, let us know as we stand and sing.